We welcome to the program this weekend Chad Miller. Chad is a Kenton City Councilman representing the 4th Ward of the city. Chad, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having us back. We appreciate the opportunity to communicate with you on the public on the opportunities that we have before us in November.
Absolutely. And also with us is Kenton Mayor Lynn Webb. Mayor, welcome back.
Always good to be on the other side talking with you,
Dennis. It's always good to talk to you. Absolutely. And as Chad mentioned, there's something coming up in November, and you guys have been hard at work promoting this. I guess you could call it an educational campaign, right?
Right. Doing our best to get accurate information out there, and information that's prudent to our community as far as what we really need as far as in our community. So.
I would think, now this is the charter, of course, the charter commission, and voters are being asked to approve a charter commission, and if so, then the 15 members who would sit on that commission, correct? It's all going to be decided
right
on the November election.
On the November election. Yeah. So the 15 members, if there was more, I think we touched on this last time, if there was more, it would be the top 15, but we have the 15 members in place. It's a great group of people. It's very diverse for our community. I think it's represented well, whether it's from the private sector. We have some people on it that's been in the government side of it that can attest to how the government works. So it's people from all areas of our community. All four of the wards are represented. They're all been in our community, you know, most of their lives, if not all their lives. So they'll definitely represent the community as a whole within the 15. So that's really what I was kind of hoping to talk about, was them 15 and giving mm-hmm. them the opportunity to draft the charter.
Yeah.
We've had our town hall last month on the 16th. Had a lot of great questions. I hope we really addressed a lot of concerns people had at that. Had a great turnout at that for the first one we've had. Beyond that, the biggest thing that came out of that, I think, was the expense involved.
Yes.
And for a local attorney, our local attorneys are not capable of, they're, none of them's dealt in it. It's, you wouldn't get your foot doctor to do your heart surgeon type thing. So we have to bring in capable, educated attorneys that deal with charter, and we want to make sure we do it right the first time. We want to make sure that we have all our I's dotted and T's crossed when it comes to it. And that's where the expense is. It's a one-time expense. It's really an investment in our future. We're going to see returns on that money and our efficiency in government if it would pass in the next November, the efficiency in just being able to track our government as a community. So
Mayor, there's a lot of enthusiasm. I can tell Chad's really enthusiastic about the future of the city should this pass. And there's a lot to be enthusiastic about for our city, so much happening that if this enhances it, then he's saying that's a win-win, right?
I do. I think it is a win-win, and I think just being in it, so to speak, in that ring of fire, I think I'm what, 5.5, 6 years in. You do. It's very enlightening on really what goes into local government and. How much things have changed since our ordinances, a lot of our ordinances are 1966. If we go back to 1966, our community profile was so different. You know, our community residents, most of our doctors resided in Kenton. A lot of our lawyers resided in Kenton. A lot of banker presidents. A lot of the professional groups. And that was also a time of it was big to serve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you didn't really have much trouble having those people sit on council, and you had the expertise in that. But as we've moved forward into it, and then things have grown, I mean, we're at a $7 million budget now. I mean, that takes some sort of expertise and some experience to be able to handle that in the best way possible. So when we talk about getting the right people or the right dog in the right doghouse, you know, our picks and those who are willing to step into it, yeah, are, it keeps getting slimmer and slimmer. And like I say, yeah, it is a ring of fire because there is a lot of accountability, like we should be held accountable. I don't shy away from that ring of fire one bit because we should be, there should be a lot of questions. There should be the whys. There should be how. There should be why not. Why can't. There's a lot of questions, but we have to start getting some, we have to be consistent and moving. As every administration changes, there should be some sort of consistency from not only administrative side, but also from council side. It turns over every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And like I've said, and Chad could attest, it takes you a good year to get your feet on the ground, to get your head wrapped around. City government is different. We all came from the corporate world, but it's so different. And how things have to be from ORC and those things you just can't do, or oh, that's how that works. It's a huge learning curve. Yeah. And about time you get into it, it's time to go again. And there's always an opportunity for a changeover. Absolutely, it should be. But how do we have any consistency throughout the government?
Yeah, so the mayor, as you talked about, that is one of the pros of a charter commission, is that it provides for more local governance as opposed to state and federal controls.
Exactly. So that's ultimately a charter. That's what it is. It's created by the people, for the people, and it's controlled by the people of the community. It's not there's rigid framework of the state. There's more flexibility, a lot more things we can do that suit our community as opposed to the big picture of the whole state. So I know, far as like charter goes, I've looked, done a lot of research, but I've realized here last week or so that out of the statutory cities that remain in Ohio, I looked at any city like 9,999, anything below 10,000 in population to the city limit of 5,000. There is only 20 cities remaining in Ohio that are statutory. And better than half of them, to look at them, they have an advantage that we don't have. They are either like a suburb of a bigger city where they can feed off of their industry and their retail or whatever it may be, or they have a four-lane highway that helps support their industry and manufacturing in that regard. So we got to make our opportunities. And for us to make our opportunities, we have to take control and own our government and create the government that best suits us and will do the work for the people of our community.
Do you feel that it would boost economic development? And if so, how?
So I'll let Lynn kind of take this one because she's more into the economic. Mm-hmm, she's more of our marketer. She's more into the economic side.
Absolutely.
So to get a better answer, I'm going to let Lynn
field that one.
It's
all yours, Mayor.
It's probably our toughest task.
Yeah.
Location, location, location. We have a tremendous economic development director in Holly Underwood, and her team just do a phenomenal job. But the point of it is how do we, in this commission, again, what's that look like that they can help do any kind of economic development? You know, there's a lot of belief that, you know, city government says yay or nay to what comes in, and we have zero authority of what. If it's privately owned, I don't say no.
Yeah.
You know, Casey's came in, I didn't say, and they left.
Yeah.
We don't have that they come and ask us about utilities, period. Yeah. And a lot of times we don't know what it is. Economic development's tricky. The most important thing we need around here is revenue. So one, we can pay our police, fire, because that's general fund. That's really, everything else is enterprise from water and sewer. General fund, police and fire, and the administrative salaries, and to be somewhat competitive. It's a difficult balance, and we only have four, and three of them are over 50 acres, and all three of them are in a flood zone. Mm. So we're in a tough, we are very landlocked, so to speak, and it's a tough thing of what kind of people talk about. We need more industry, and we don't disagree, but it's hard to find that fit in what's available that we have available.
I would think, though, if you create some sort of political and even economic stability, businesses and industry would take a closer look, would they not?
Right, right. So,
and that's what a charter is would do.
Right, to create that structure and stability in our government. So every administration comes in, can go in a different direction, whether it's the mayor. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we want to keep the checks and balances in there. And the mayor, you know, keeping the veto power for an example or whatever. Each mayor can come in with their agenda, but you have to work through the structure as opposed to you being the focal point of that agenda. You have to work within the structure. Same for council. I could come in with my agenda, but I have to work through council, or I have to work through the administration. It should be that way across the board, that we have that structure, that we expect the continuity in our government to carry us into the future. So that's kind of where I kind of feel like Tuesday starts early voting. So that Tuesday is kind of the beginning point, could be the turning point for our city as far as where do we expect our government to represent us, and where would we expect our government to take us into the future as far as a community. So.
So what about accountability for the commission? I think some of the cons of the charter is that there might be a lack of accountability. Is that so? Or
so I don't think there's really a lack of accountability, because every meeting is going to be open meeting. Mm-hmm. Sunshine laws require it. Anybody and everybody's able to attend. There will be the representation from the lawyers that, you know, keep them on track, keep them going on task, keep them moving, because they have a time frame to get it done. They'll have homework that the lawyers will give them. You got to do this research. But as far as in the meetings, everything will be open to the public. Public's more than welcome to have input on it. That's the purpose of the charter. Is it's built not only by the 15, but we could go to these 15 people as opposed to having to go to like a Ty Matthews and. At the state level, we'll have our 15 representatives here locally that, you know, we could say, hey, this is what I feel would help us as a community. I have my opinion. Lynn has her opinion. I'm sure you have your opinion. Everybody has their opinion, and that's going to be the job of the 15, is to kind of take a collective majority, so to speak, on what they're hearing and try and apply it to our local government.
The 15 people, and you mentioned that they come from every background, and I think the names that I've seen on it are reputable. I mean, they're really
sure. It's a great group of people. We've been so fortunate in that regard to have these people want to come forward and kind of put themselves out there as far as they're going to be fielding questions from the community, putting themselves out there that they're willing to be a part of something bigger than themselves, or even bigger than just the community itself. We're building something for that would be generational and that would be moving forward. So, and you know, though I'm sure there's the opportunity for them to put in for it to be the amendments to it, be checked for anything that would be amended so that our government would be more of a live government that grows with time. I mean, I know when I was 20 years ago, if you wanted to know what went on at council, you had to read the paper or hear it on the radio. You know, they're live streamed now. They're, you can watch them online. You can see what's going on in real time. So the world's changing, and like I said, there's 20 cities left our size that really need to change and really get with the times and really look to better their community in that regard.
Yeah. So I think there's been one of the things people have said the most is, I'm still confused. What is a charter? I know that you've spent a lot of time, but that still seems to be the...
Right.
I'm still confused. What? I don't understand it. So in simple, like we're all in third grade, what is a charter?
At its core, it is just a constitution for the city, for our specific city. It'll read just like a constitution for Canton, Ohio. This is 47 years ago. Our 15 founding members brought forth type thing. It's going to be that it. I kind of make a joke, but that's what it is. It's a constitution.
I said third grade. That's good. Right. I like that.
It's really structure of government.
Yeah,
point it blank. Is. It is how our government is structured here. It always has been this way, and I get when people say, well, it's always been that way. Well, sometimes, like we said, 1960, we have ordinances of 1966, and a lot of them are very much, I mean, we still have to follow Ohio Revised Code. We still have to follow federal law. That's not out the window. We are still part of that, so it's not like we're running the wild, wild west. It's really the structure of your government. How do you want to see your government structured? And there's several ways from, you know, a strong mayor to a weak mayor,
right,
to, and it, that's what the charter will put out there. And it's what will give your, what they come up with could be, is that, do, that they'll present, they feel this is the best structure of government moving forward.
So some of the positions in the city, like let's say safety service director, appointed by the mayor.
Right.
Appointed or hired, either way,
appointed.
Right? That works.
Appointed.
And that person is in that job as long as the mayor wants them. They serve at the
right
honor of the mayor.
Correct.
Would that change under a charter?
It could. I want to say, I don't want to be kind of vague about it, because the commission gets to kind of create that charter.
Okay.
And there's different forms. But if we look at, let's just look at it in the aspect of, they decide to go with the council manager type thing, and they create the administrator for it. The city service director would become an administrator. They would be vetted, hired, basically through council, and then council would have the ability to review that employee just like a business mm-hmm. would. And, you know, they would have to hit their marks, performance marks, things like that. But they would have more of an expectation on them in that regard. Council could decide to terminate their employment if they wasn't performing.
Accountability.
The accountability. That was like another thing as far as in this line of discussion, people brought up, you know, well, we'll have to pay these people, you know. We currently have Cindy doing it, and she's doing it at her rate that I believe is definitely below market value. But we are going to pay, if Cindy, we have to discuss it as far as Cindy. If Cindy decided to leave, who are we going to bring in? And this person's not going to say, I'm not going to do it for that rate. We're going to pay somebody. This isn't going to change the market as far as who do we pay? It's we're going to pay somebody.
It doesn't matter whether we're statutory or charter.
Exactly.
We still face the same problem of
we're going
being
to
able
have
to pay
that
people
expense.
What the market is saying.
Yeah.
Right. So do we want to pay somebody the market value that we're not vetting, that is appointed and gets to stay in that position? Even at that, I know we've had this discussion in the past. John Schwimmer says the only real power we have to towards the city service director is the purse strings if we decide not to pay him. if we have somebody in that role that is retired, collecting their pension and Social Security, and they don't even really need a pay, they could still hold on to that job without pay. And beyond that, we have no recourse. So I know it's an extreme, but it's something that could happen.
But I do wonder, though, because I think you might agree that the mayor hit a home run with bringing in Cindy Murray. But not every mayor hits a home run. And so if this provides some kind of, hey, we can keep the right person in there.
I think, too, to that point is being aware of what that person, the job that they have to do. Again, it's very different from where we were in 1966. EPA, just for starters. Yeah. I mean, is a constant to where that safety service director is constantly, one, we're monitored, and every city is like this. If nobody gets like this perfect scorecard. Okay, you have this deficiencies. What are you going to do? It's constant reporting just in EPA. Then you have all these other aspects and jobs and duties that are required. And if we don't do those, that's when the city can find themselves in a tremendous situation. If I'm just going from an EPA and we fall under EPA violations to where we're in big trouble with the EPA, I don't think that the community wants to take that on. So it's very important that we get people. You know, I really started doing my homework a couple years before I ran because I wanted to make sure I picked someone that and understood at least a little bit of all that they had to take on. It's an incredible amount, and it's very, very vital for our community. So same with income tax, same with deputy auditor, same with all of those that are appointed. It can put us in a bad situation if we don't have the right kind of people in there. And again, it's vetted by those seven, or the charter might say five, or they might say nine. They're vetted and held accountable by those, not just one. You know, a lot of people say, the mayor, you know, she brings all of her friends and family in. Well, one, I don't, but the thing of it is, this takes that away from me. That's what you want. You want to be able to put that to the power of the people who have picked their representative in council. So if you have that concern, you call your council, or you come to council and say, I have a problem here. That's exercising what we do. And it takes every bit of power away from the mayor on appointment. But I do agree with it's important that the mayor has some sort of balance and veto power.
Veto power. And because it works together, right? I mean,
just kind of build on one thing. I touch on one thing Lynn was speaking on, as far as even the city service director, whether it's Cindy or whoever it may be. I know this administration, I know Lynn has a hand in this as well, but for Cindy's role, she chases a lot of grant money, mm-hmm. so does Lynn, and that's I think we've talked about this in the past, 5-10 years out. But that's money coming back to our community. That's money that we're not taking out of our tax dollar, we're not taking out of our general fund, you need that in your administrator. You need to have that expectation. And another administration comes in, city service director turns over. That person doesn't know how to get grants, don't know how to chase low interest loans. There's a lot of money in this community that's being saved in that position because of the person we have in it. And people don't see it. I mean, they see, everybody wants to talk about their taxes. I pay my taxes too, and I get it. I truly do. But if we're able to get money back from taxes we've paid in already, that's money back to our community. If we're able to get grants, I'll use the theater over here as an example. That group, the revitalization, that group went and chased a grant. They got the community support. They got volunteers to paint that building, and the money was, you know, Sherwin-Williams was the grant. That's the stuff we need in our community, and we need to expect that out of our administration in the level of whether it's our water tower, water treatment plant, whatever it may be, whether it's infrastructure, we need to expect that in our administration. And that's where the charter creates that structure and solidifies that whoever's in that position, that's the expectation. It's not like an ebb and flow of every administration wants to go in a different direction.
So we are unfortunately totally out of time, not totally out of mental
time. Give me one more.
I can give it. I was going to, actually. Oh, so, sorry. Yes. To bring it home, what would you like to add?
So just in closing, we are going to have another town hall roundtable type thing at the middle school on October 14th at 6. So the seating will be a little softer and a little easier. But we're bringing in the Ohio City and County Management Association is going to bring in administrators from other communities that are in charter. So our community will have the opportunity to ask actual hands-on people that are in charters, their administrations in charters. It'll give the community a real hands-on opportunity to ask them their challenges, where they're benefiting more than us, and have the opportunity to really speak with people at the front line of what an administrator is and what these charter cities that are around us. I believe Corey's going to bring maybe 4 or 5 people from throughout the state to be able to sit down and talk, and they'll field any questions that the community has for them. So October 14th at the middle school, 6 p.m., we will have some different people other than me and Lynn and kind of talking about it and get real answers from people that really live it day to day. And I'm sure the 15 commission will be there. So they'll be able to hear people's input, which is great as far as their opportunity, if it passes in November, that they get to work right on it right away. Obviously Tuesday starts early voting. Mm-hmm. I encourage everybody to do their homework. One thing I kind of notice, and we've kind of talked about it before we started, was anytime you see the words potential, possibility, might, could be, them aren't facts. Them are all suggestions. Yeah. Until we have a charter, till we give these 15 people the opportunity to write our charter, and we have that charter in writing, that's when we can discuss what the possibilities are with it. Till we have something in writing, we're really just talking about possibilities.
Very so good. Chad, thank you. Anything, Mayor, before I let you get away?
Nope. He's done an excellent job.
Yes. Chad Miller, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to come in and speak with you and the community. So
Mayor, always a pleasure.
Same. Thanks.